This is Wild on 7th, your favorite Wild podcast.
Did you guys see this? This is unbelievable.
What is that all about, Kinger?
Get in here for the real thing.
Like, let's get weird.
Maybe I blacked out trying to figure out what was going on.
Doubt, worry, fear, because that's what we're breaking the mold on here.
Welcome to Wild on 7th, presented by Pilot Games. We're here until it's here.
Welcome back to Wild on 7th, your favorite Wild podcast, as always presented by Pilot Games. We appreciate you using their products at your local establishments, because when you play their e-tabs, your community wins. Speaking of community, the Wild community feeling pretty good right now. I mean, you go down to what looked like it was going to be a gauntlet. You got Tampa, Florida back-to-back, and then you wrap it up on a Sunday afternoon matinee game in Carolina. And it's like, let's see how they navigate this. And it didn't get off to a great start with a loss in Tampa. But they rebound on some great special teams play to take 4 of 6 points on the road trip. And all of a sudden, things are starting to look up a little bit in the Wild community.
We wanted 4 out of 6. We wanted 6 out of 6, but we got 4. So, hey, we're hanging in there. We're still fighting. I have so much I want to talk to you about from these two games, especially Duhame. Maybe I didn't realize Dexter is from Miami, the former killer on TV, and he may be wanted for murder after defending his goalie there. But I was just what a treat! Like, what weird games. The Florida game was just madness. And then the Carolina game, I think we were winning and had like 2 shots and they had about 20. I mean, that was like a strange card trick. So, yeah, 3 really good teams, and to get 2 wins out of there is awesome.
Yeah. It's interesting. You get into the topic on why fighting has a place in hockey, and I think the Duhame fight could be an example for it. It policed itself, and I think you'd be kidding yourselves if you didn't think that somehow that whole club got a bunch of confidence and a boost of energy from it.
Can we talk about it a little bit? So, first of all, I've heard actually some people have said that they thought if you were a player today, like 2024, similar game to Duhame in some ways, or is that accurate or not accurate? Okay. So it's his hometown. You just run. This person just ran the Hall of Fame, the greatest man goalie in the world. I mean, that's
Nobel Peace Prize winner of hockey.
I mean, basically, you just clubbed a baby seal in the trapezoid, and it's my hometown. I probably got some boys up there in their flippers and scuba masks. All my spear fisherman friends from Florida. I mean, what he had to just be like, I got this.
Yeah.
And then when you pat a guy on the back after a fight, that is like, that's when it's like, hey, sorry about your orbital bone. Like, sorry.
That's like
that's not good if someone's patting your back.
Yeah.
Right?
You kind of see that in the UFC too. Like, like their professionals, like, sorry, I had to do that. Yeah. You know, it's almost like an apology a little bit.
Like, it's part of the game.
I'm sorry.
Like, you knew the deal when you
didn't want to have to do this, but yeah, I had to.
And I would say Duhame not known for winning fights necessarily. Fighting a lot, but I wouldn't say he's known for winning fights. And was that like a young rookie he fought? Or like, what was going on there? Because that was just a bum rush.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know, some of that is the things have changed. So, and it's good for Duhame, and I hope it gives him confidence and it sparks a nice late season run and does a bunch of other stuff.
It was a moment.
Yeah, it was a moment for sure. And I do think that things are a little different too. So let's say you're in the NHL and you're a physical player. This is 10, 15 years ago, and you have your moment and you drop a guy, and the issue is on the next team, you're probably going to have to do it again the next night because now, like, everybody knows. I think, like, what Duhame might get now is a little bit of space out there because there isn't somebody on every team saying, okay, well, now you've moved up a weight class.
He's unpredictable.
It's my turn now.
It's like, I don't know what – I mean, I've seen him lose a few fights, but also he maybe killed a guy down in Miami. And then how about Fleury with the eye for an eye line when he gives him the helmet after the game. He's like, and he does it in a slurry way. He's like, you know, eye for eye. Like, he's quoting the Old Testament, and he still sounds charming, right?
But how about that, though? Like, how great was that moment in general? Because Fleury's got the helmet because he got 552,
yep.
And it was his from that point on. They lost in Tampa. Fleury ends up leaving the game after taking the hit that I think probably got Duhaime in the spot to do what he did. And Fleury's there, the one to hand it off and say, a lot of times, if somebody goes and fights for you, maybe you'll buy him dinner or you'll do something. But I love it that there's cameras in the locker room to kind of capture that moment, and then that the stars kind of aligned, that it was Fleury, the guy that got hit, that Duhaime is sticking up for, that had the helmet and passes it down. He can drop a line like that. So it's just kind of – it was great how it worked out.
Yeah, you wouldn't pick Marc-Andre Fleury to do the audio book for the – you know, the Old Testament, but somehow he was just like, you know, eye for eye, Dewey. But yeah, that was great. The Carolina game was super weird, right? Mm-hmm. Like no pucks to the net. Gus looked like old Gus. Kirill's been on a heater. Hey, by the way, fantasy hockey trade straight up. Kirill for Sidney Crosby. Looking like I might have done the math right on that. He's getting stronger as the season goes on. Yeah, I don't know. What did you make of that Carolina game? That's a good hockey team.
Well, the way I look at that is there are times, and we talked about it earlier in the year, where the Wild are playing maybe good enough to win games, but they're not winning games. And over the course of the year, they balance out. Now, they went to Carolina, and they won. And there was parts of their game that were good enough for them to win that. That was goaltending. They kept the puck out of their net when they needed to. They scored timely goals. The power play chipped in. The penalty kill was good. You add all that up, and it was enough. But Carolina's probably skating away from that game saying, hey, we can't hang our heads. Like, we threw everything at them, and their goalie was good and everything. But that's the balance of it. The Wild won one that maybe they shouldn't, and it doesn't erase some of the pain that was felt earlier in the year when the Wild were playing well enough to win and weren't. But from like a fan perspective or even coaching management, I think that's where you chalk that one up and you say, like, this is the
hockey.
They just bounced themselves out a little bit. But Carolina is, they're good. I mean, and they're without some key pieces too. Rod Brindamore's teams just always play hard and they kind of play simple, a lot of pucks to the net. But where the Wild were good again too, I think, is that they just didn't give up a ton of like high danger chances. They gave up a bunch of volume, but it wasn't like a bunch of seam passes. Gus didn't have to make huge sliding saves. It was all kind of in front of Gus, and he was able to just find it, save it, and cover it up. So overall, a nice win. But at the same time, like the both those wins now were still stressful wins. Sometimes I think about it that way too. Like, how are your games? Are they stressful? Like, you, every once in a while, you need like just your skate away 4-1. Like, you
need the Islander game.
You weren't stressed at all. But they had to play great in the Islander game, and they did play great in the Islander game. And that can be hard too, to have to play like such a perfect game to get the win. But they, look at what the Wild did though to the Islanders. And I don't want to go too far off on a tangent, but they forced a coaching change. I'm pretty sure that that decision was made during the Wild game because it was Winnipeg and Minnesota for them, and boom, Lane Lambert couldn't get them fired up enough to play in a game that they probably needed to win in Minnesota, and then now you've got Waugh behind the bench of the Islanders. So that game that the Wild played was just eye-opening on a lot of levels.
And it's Patrick Waugh, right? So it's like, yeah, what was that? The Fleury shutout, right? The 552.
Yeah.
And then they hire the guy that was 551. A feisty one. Will be interesting to see if he...
Do you think Waugh was like, hey, Lou, I'm going to pay you to let me coach? Because...
He's like, do these wins count? Because I am a goalie.
Right.
I think I can get ahead of them again. No, you're probably right. Forced a coaching change there. So talk me through where we're at as a, you know, we've got these three games at home here before the All-Star break. Good road trip. I've been spending a lot of time on websites that give you your percentage chance of making the playoffs. Not a really great place to be. Now we've got the Spurgeon injury where there seems to be some money in Billy's wallet again. What's the goal? Like, what can I mean, I always think, like, we can make the playoffs. Even when it's 3 out of 100, I'm like, well, there's maybe that we're one of the three.
Let's keep it out east for a minute and go with the New York Islanders. They've got 46 games played. They're 20-15-11, 51 points. So they're in a slightly different spot than the Wild are. But
they fired their coach, so they still think they can do something.
Yes. They're on the outside of the playoffs, so they're
I like this. So you're using a comp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, basically all I'm saying is that, like, you're not really out of it, and some of these teams decide to make their run right now, and that's probably part of the reason why the Islanders made the coaching change is because they're running out of time, and Billy touched on it in his media availability. It's like, there's still time, but we're running out of it, and the Islanders are like, and Lou's never out of it until they're out of it. He'll continue to chase it and chase it.
I like that mentality. I know
that. Whatever he can to win. Yeah. And that's what, to illustrate that, that's why Parise became a player of the Minnesota Wild. Lou has these rules. He doesn't negotiate contracts during the year. He's not just going to trade you if your team has a chance to win because he's going to protect assets and get a first-round pick for Zach Parise. Zach Parise, UFA in Jersey, and Lou knew full well that he could walk. But he wasn't going to trade him and give up.
Because he's playing the hand out
that year. Yeah, and we were sixth in the East that year. And we go into the playoffs with a bunch of unknowns on what's going to happen the next year, year after. Nobody knows, but didn't matter. Lou didn't care. He was focused on winning that year. Boom, boom, boom. Sixth seed goes all the way to the Stanley Cup final. We end up losing in 6 games to the LA Kings. But Zach Parise is a huge part of it. That team never gets to the finals and has a chance to win if the organization tries to manage, manipulate things for the future and for different times. So he just lives in the moment, now. And if you have a guy that has had success in the past, living in the moment, in the now, like Lou Lamoriello has, he takes that team in 2012 to the Stanley Cup final. There's no reason the Wild can't be the exact same from the West.
Can we do a little role playing? Okay. You know when you watch CNN – and they actually have a guy named John King who's on the big board for the election. And he'll be like, let me show you the path to the White House for so-and-so. Can you show me the path to the playoffs for the Wild? Because Edmonton, last I checked, does not know how to lose hockey games. So they're like on this crazy – I'm just trying to figure out.
There are some fun storylines. So, like, Seattle won, like, 9 straight. Now they're on a 3-game skid. So where it looked like Seattle and – Edmonton, we're just going to run away with the wild card spots or maybe even catch for the Pacific and bump one of those, whether it be Vancouver, Vegas, or L.A., into a wild card spot. And it looks like Edmonton did finally yesterday bump L.A. into a wild card spot. It's still unknown. There's enough hockey to be played yet. Seattle, even after going on an absolute heater, is 5th in the wild card. They're 47 points. That's one win more than the Wild has. 2 more points right there. So,
and it feels like the bottom drops out on them.
Yeah. I mean. So what I do think so right now the Wild are at 45 points with 46 games played. The Kings are at 52 points, 43 games played. They got 3 in hand, so that's 6 potential points. The Kings could be at 58. Let's say they're a good team and they're going to get 4 points. So they're going to be at 56 through the same amount of games. The Wild are going to be 11 points back. It's going to be tough to catch. Okay, so what you're kind of playing for is that second wild card spot.
Which seems like the only one available, just based on how hot teams were out of the chute.
And if you're...
Edmonton really messed that up, but with the heater they went on, I just went, okay, so basically there's one spot here you're fighting
for. Yeah, and really that's all you have to set your sights on because that's all you need to get to the tournament. And then anything can happen. But Nashville's sitting at 46 games played with 51 points. The Wild are at the exact same games played with 45 points. And you're going to get a chance to play those guys. So those will be big games. But in that, from Nashville to Minnesota, I mean, it really falls off after Minnesota. The Ducks have 31 points, so it's nowhere near. They're out of it. But Arizona, Calgary, Seattle, St. Louis, Minnesota, all within 2 points of each other, and all within striking distance of that final playoff spot, final wild card spot. So however it shakes out, but the Wild have games against the Blues, against the Coyotes, and against the Predators, all teams that they'll be chasing.
And Billy goes shopping. I don't know if Billy's going to know what it feels like to have money in his wallet. He's going to probably going to just, he'd be holding it up, looking for that blue line in the light. I mean, what does he have about, they were saying he might take a couple million of the Spurgeon injury money and deal with Iowa with that, but he still might have $5 million to spend if he wanted to. Is that the right number?
Well, I think the way that I don't know. I'm not a capologist, but yeah, Spurgeon makes $7 million, and you can't like accrue cap savings, but you can use the space if it's not there. So however he wants to use that space, just essentially they could find knowing that Spurgeon's not back, you have like $6 or $7 million to play with to put in there. Now what you can't do is get somebody with term that will roll over into next year. So you're likely looking at an expiring contract at the end of this year, so like a rental. And would that be a D? Who knows? But what do you want to give up? That's the next question. So what do you give up to go get a D-man or somebody else that makes $5 million? I mean, $5 million D-man.
Yeah, that's not easy.
And they're I don't think that they're cheap, you know?
No.
So what do you want to chase with an expiring contract? Hope. I do think it's valuable. I would chase it too. But if the right deal comes across the desk, I think it probably gets striked. It's a good deal.
It has to be something that I think you could, I don't know how with all the contracts we have, but maybe you could wiggle it into something that lasts for us. I guess it could just be a really smart, tight rental too, if you think it's just Lula Morello strategy of like, this is short-term, brother, but I want to show the team I'm giving them the best chance to win.
You either have a guy that has a no movement that says he'll go to Minnesota and that's the only spot, right? That's possible. You wait till the 11th hour of the deadline and you see what's left and you go see if you can't get something. I can't imagine that's priority number one to go out and get something. I think it'd just be comfortable to do that, but I don't know. I mean, you look at the way that they defended in the Carolina game, it was good enough. Maybe it's best to let some of these kids grow. I don't really know. But
can we talk about Middleton a little bit? He just seems like he's as excited and surprised when he scores goals as anybody that maybe was studying his trajectory as a hockey player, watching him sort of score more goals than ever before this season. And even an empty netter there. Jake doesn't strike me as a guy that would sign up for the halftime shooting contest, even on a promo. And he was pretty comfortable ripping that one down the ice for the empty netter. What do you make of Middleton's game? Faber's gotten a lot of attention because he's so young and he's put into this leadership role. But I would say Middleton in most lineups wouldn't have been a top two pairing guy, and he's had to kind of play that way for long stretches. So what do you think of Jake's game?
Well, I think it's been great, and I think what's been probably noticeable in Middleton's game, and I think we could applaud it, should applaud it, is that he has started to produce while still being himself.
Yep.
He hasn't tried to do things beyond what he's capable of, and that's not me putting a ceiling on what he's capable of. Is he knows, and you can hear it in his comments. So post game, he's talking to Gorgie. Gorgie says, "Hey, you can have, you could potentially get double digit 10-15 goals." And Middleton says, "Well, let's just pump the brakes. Let's start with number 8. You know, I've got 7 right now. I don't really care. Let's get number 8 and continue to win games, and that's where we'll go from there." He's got the right mentality.
He's the guy, Karts, when you're golfing, it's like he flew 2 in from off the green on pitch shots. But he's the first one. If you're in the clubhouse having your final after the round, he'd be like, "Yeah, that was crazy, man. I mean, this stuff was just falling." It's almost like he got a ticket to the season and he's just enjoying the ride. He's totally not forcing it. But he's playing really well and he's producing at a level he's never produced at in his entire career.
And that's tied to opportunity. Is he producing like this if it isn't for injuries from Brodin, Spurgeon, and everybody else? So he's producing because he gets opportunity, and that's what you love to see guys do. And hopefully he gets more opportunity, but he's also, give him credit, I think he's been coachable. So Hines comes in and he wants a second wave of offense. He wants the D, weak side D, jumping up, getting in the play. The attack is no longer three forwards. It's the three forwards plus the second wave, the fourth D, get up there. And we've seen Middleton, like middle lane drive, net front drive, score goals. He's the extra guy in his work. Like, he's coachable. He recognizes the situation. He jumps up in the play. He knows his job. He goes and does it. Teammates count on him. Put the puck there. He's there. Puts in the back of the net. Like, he's coachable. He's recognizing the right plays. He's getting rewarded for it. Opportunity was presented. He's grabbing it. Everything's awesome.
So the universe speaks to us sometimes. And yesterday I'm watching the Chiefs game, and Kelsey's brother is at the game, and he's tarps off in the suite with Taylor Swift, and
like actual tarp off.
Yes, like full on. He's a large man, and he is just having a time dodging snowballs probably. And I guess tomorrow, it'll be tomorrow, right? Tomorrow from the day this comes out, we got the tarps off night tomorrow against the Caps. Ovi and Oshi coming to town, and we're doing the Middleton tarps off night. So, and these shirts, have you seen these shirts wear that it's have you tried one on?
No, I haven't tried one on, but Gorg, it was great. So Kevin Gorg wore it in the interview with Middleton yesterday. The only thing that looked odd is that I think Middleton didn't have the heart rate monitor on.
What?
So it was, yeah.
That's like Michael not having the sequin glove. What's he, maybe he's trying to break out of that. He doesn't want to be boxed in.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I know there was a lot of discussion about the nipple placement, chest hair.
Middleton brought up the chest hair in the interview, said he feels like he kind of had to eat crow a little because he's like, I feel like I have a little more chest hair than the shirt shows. But then he had recently just looked like he had shaved it off so that there actually wasn't anymore. And then he likes his tattoo. He thinks his...
The lion?
Yeah, his tattoo was a little superior to the T-shirt's tattoo.
Can you imagine being that designer? That's just got like this, I don't know, what is it, CAD software? And you're just, and you have like, you go to like marketing meetings and they're like, you know, the shirt looks great. The nipple, the areolas on the they have to clarify, like the areolas on the shirt are different than Jake's. We've been seeing that, you know, he's recently groomed himself a little bit. What are our plans? Will our fans be disappointed if his chest hair is a different length than the marketing materials? I mean, that's a whole awesome. The fact that that even happened, that's a moment for the season too. I think I might have to go over tomorrow night. And is the U10 on or off tomorrow night? Are you doing the game?
Yeah, I got the game.
Oh, good. Are you gonna at any point tarps off for you or no?
No.
No, Bally's wouldn't like that.
I don't think anybody would.
You could do it. You're fit. You could pull it off.
So it'll be a good one. That's a good segue into the week ahead. So the Wild have the Caps in town, and I'm intrigued by the Capitals team because they find themselves in the playoff race right now a little bit too. Where are they sitting? Fourth in the wild card spot, 50 points through 44 games. Like, they could easily be in the playoff spot right now, and that's a team that I think some kind of gave up on. They had goaltending issues. I think Kemper went from their number one to their number two. Charlie Lindgren, hashtag one of us, is playing goal there. Ovi, he hasn't been scoring like he usually has. I don't know what he's sitting at right now. I'm going to look it up. But
Oshie just had the hat trick.
Yeah, Oshie. And then there's another segue, TJ Oshie, Sochi, and Warroad. Hockey Day coming up this weekend.
Maybe he's just warming up for Hockey Day with that hat trick. I mean, that'll be exciting. You obviously were very involved with White Bear Lakes Hockey Day last year. Are you? Do you have plans around the Hockey Day? You excited for the Warroad Hockey Day?
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. We're going up Friday morning and spend the day Friday getting to see the setup, everything, get acclimated. Then a couple of games on Saturday, which the games I think are going to be great. Moorhead, Wayzata, the games I'm working, Moorhead, Wayzata, then Warroad, Roseau. I think that Warroad, Roseau game is going to be terrific. Wayzata, Moorhead, they've played once already this year, so this will kind of be the rematch to that first one. They'll know each other.
How was that first game when they played? Was it closer?
I think it was close, but to my understanding, Wayzata was the superior team. They won. They were better. But Moorhead is a young team, but they've taken big strides. So, and then, you know, they'll be up north Why Zeta will have to travel, playing outside. But how about the gift of the weather? I think that the average temp up in War Road is going to be
30,
mid-20s, maybe.
That's awesome. That's so much better than it has been. It's been rough this last couple weeks. I don't like going outside at all. This is warm up your car before you get in it weather.
And like last year's hockey day, the week leading up to it, it was cold in the single digits. I know the War Road local organizing committee has been working hard, and they've got everything buttoned up. And the one thing that you can't control is the weather. I'm super grateful that the weather's going to work out and that they're going to be able to maximize the event and make it what they've worked for it to be. But hockey day is going to be great. Gorgie and I are going to be up there. A lot more talent from Bally, and it's going to be 18 hours continuous coverage of hockey on Bally Saturday, and that concludes with a Wild game Saturday night, 8 o'clock start. So overall, it's gonna be a great day.
No, that's great. And obviously, they're one of the iconic, communities, and to have them host this with all of the people that have come out of there, it'll be great. I got to go up there for a little bit too, and man, that is not close. That's a 6-hour special up to War Road. I didn't even know you could pull that off. I guess I didn't know how far it was, but yeah, it'll be good. Are you, do you do anything different for the hockey day stuff versus your normal analyst work?
Well,
you have to kind of study the teams.
It's a little harder. It's a little harder because in the NHL, you kind of have a base knowledge of every team and a lot of the guys and where they fit and their role and everything else. And then the high school, you're kind of, I think it changes every minute. You don't know. So it's a little bit different trying to prepare for those games. But at the same time, I think it's it's a little bit more fun because the kids enjoy it. And they like, I don't know if they like the attention, but it's fun to ask them questions like where are their games at? What do they think? And to see their responses and then have them go out and play. And you factor all that stuff in because at the end of the day, I mean, they're young men, they're 15, 16 to 18 years old and getting the spotlight. I don't know. It's just a blast.
And you had a lot of success outside, as I recall. I mean, if you were to look at your hockey DB and pull outdoor games out of it, I think that'd be a pretty sweet segment. So are you going to give any counsel to these guys on gear, eye black, any tips to?
Yeah, wear the eye black. That worked.
It looks cool.
Yeah, I've played in a couple Stadium Series games, and eye black was present in both of them. One was terrible, terribly hard. I was with the Devils, and we were playing at Yankee Stadium, and it was supposed to be, I think, like a 2 o'clock start. And the way the rink was set up, the sun was coming over one edge of the stadium right into Lundqvist's eyes. So they just said, that's it, we're going to pause the game. We sat in the locker room in our gear.
After it had been started?
No, actually, okay. Before we started. So we thought we're going up for warm-up, and they're like, 15 more minutes. We got to let the sun set. 15 more minutes. Got to let the sun set. Okay, now you got 30 more minutes. And then it was like an hour and 15
minutes.
That's
not good.
Delay. No,
for
we sat
creatures
there
of
gear.
Habit. How did that go over with the team?
I don't know. My feet were sweaty. They hurt. But it was it turned out to be okay. It was the right move because whoever was in that net wouldn't have been able to see anything. Point is, use the eye black because if the sun's out there, it does affect you.
I like it. Eye black. All the teams going to hockey day. You come back Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay. That'll be a journey. I don't think I'm going to go up Thursday night and come back Friday. That's a hard 12 hours over a short span.
Yeah. It's all good. It's all worth it. It's a huge undertaking for the Wild, for Bally, even the teams, like, so grateful for the teams, like Wyzetta, Moorhead, even the teams on the girls' side to make the commitment to go up there to play. It's a big sacrifice for everybody, and it's fun. It's a great event. Love it.
Yeah, that'll be good. So you're saying it's a lot of work to put that together to kind of construct the lineup and put the pieces into place in precisely the right way. That's something that impressed you about Hockey Day?
Yeah, there's a lot to it, and there's a lot of like structural components and different things that you want to make sure that if you're putting on an event like that it runs smoothly. Much like you spend all this time in your house and you want to make sure that you're comfortable while in it. And Our friends at Wild Construction can really help make sure that you're just comfortable and confident in your house. Now, they do a lot of work on the roof, and if you have some storm damage, they've got resources on their website to help you out with that. You can get claims up to 12 months out, so if you're sitting around thinking you might have some issues, you might have been around a storm, they've got some resources on the website to help you out. But this time of year, they're not on the roof, but they can help you out inside the house. So if you need new windows, if you want some, you know, to revamp some insulation, different things like that, they've got your back here, and they'll make it happen. WildConstructionMN.com. Check them out.
That was really good.
Thanks.
You're going to come back at me, or you want me just to go cold open like Saturday
As you're
Night
sitting
Live?
There watching 18 hours of continuous hockey coverage, and you don't want to leave your couch because the content is that good, and you are going to be delivered something to maintain your energy levels, some sustenance, what would you want it to be?
Well, I hope that I'm sitting with the TV tray. I hope actually you wear eye black on the broadcast this weekend. I think that would be cool because it's officially dip season, not deep season. It's dip season, and Jimmy's makes vegetable dips with real grade A sour cream. They got the A in quotes like you're an assistant captain. Highest quality products. They hand peel these things, onions, garlic, parsley, cut in-house by hand. Look in the produce section. They got original ranch, smoky ranch dip, spinach dip, fruit dip. It sounds like the dill dip is pretty popular. So it's dip season. Let's veg out with Jimmy's vegetables and dips. Don't you be messing with my dressing. That was kind of a lot of words. My mouth is watering.
Should we, like the Minnesota Wild, just go back-to-back right here? I think we're going to. I'm going to tell a quick little story, and this is an ad. My mother calls me. Her reverse osmosis system isn't working.
What?
On Saturday. It's a Kinetico K5 system, same one I have. She's like, Ryan, you're the water expert. Will you come over here and check this out? Oof. So I go over there. I pull out the filter. I think the filter needs to be replaced. I call Aquarius Home Services. I get an answer right away, and the greeting is, hello from Aquarius Home Services. How can I make you smile today?
That's what they said?
Yes.
That's classic.
I said, I think I got a bad filter, and my system's not running. We've troubleshot this and that. Is there any way we can like see if this filter is functioning properly? She's like, yeah, let me call you right back. Hangs up the phone. 5 minutes later, calls me back, says, you know what? Run over to are you located in St. Paul? That's what the address kind of says. Yes. Go over to the Vadnais Heights location and just pick up a new filter. We'll have one ready for you with your name on it. Do it. Run home. Twist it in. Plug it. It's fixed. They made us smile that day. And
did you get involved? Like, did you pick up the filter for your mother, or did she go get it?
They went and got it.
Oh, they did it themselves.
Yeah, they went and did it, and then they were able to replace it themselves.
Wow, that's
But it was cool. More customer service. It was a Saturday afternoon. Phone was answered. The part was delivered. The problem was solved. And I don't know, man, I just appreciate the customer service. But Aquarius Home Services, you have water problems. They're your people. Aquarius Home Services, nothing but respect for those guys.
You know, it's a bold move to answer the phone, how can I make you smile today, you know? But it also, like imagine you just did this, you know, the Wild are about to play 3 games at home. You call up to Excel, Minnesota Wild, 23-24 season, how can I make you smile today? What would be the answer to that question? We got to go 2 out of 3 here again, or just, what about just getting 6 points and going to the All-Star break?
I tell you what would make me smile is if the power play stayed on the heater that they're on right now.
What do you think's working? Why has it changed?
I don't know. It changed in the Islander game. Whatever happened.
They're starting to be aggressive. I mean, they're firing it.
And they look hungry, don't they?
Yeah, it's like a different
pace.
It started in that first period of the Islander game. I was like, what is happening?
It's like all of a sudden the power play looks like they've decided they're not going to be denied. And there's
blood in the water almost.
There's pace. Yeah, there's pace. They're winning battles. They're not passing up shots. There's the right passes. It's you can't find a mistake that they're making or something that they're overlooking. I think they were 5 for 6 in the Florida game.
And pucks are always staying in the zone. It's like the other
but
team can't even get it out.
That's work.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And they know their outs. They're playing with pace. They're not holding on to it too long. They're not letting the kill get set up. They're bringing the puck to the net. Kirill's power play goal yesterday, too, is another example. Like, the Carolina had made they made a couple saves. They just couldn't get the puck out of their zone. Boldy is carrying it up the left-hand wall. Kirill just works to get open in the middle of the ice. And I don't know that I've ever seen a power play goal like that before, where somebody skating towards their own net passes it to the slot to a guy facing his own net, having to turn around and shoot through some traffic into the net. Like, both players that were making that play were facing the wrong direction when they made their play, and the puck ends up in the net. But it's just work. Work without it and execution, the talent. And the only thing that's changed is Brock Faber's running it. And we can give Brock Faber a bunch of credit. Absolutely. He's a part of it right now. But I don't think that that's, like, the reason why the power play is humming at the moment. He's great on it. He's complimenting it and everything like that. But just in general, the five-man group is crushing it.
Did you watch the game on TV yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the section when it's probably after a power play? I think it was after a kill. And they show Faber on the bench, and he goes, "Hey!" And he asked Brodin something. And I don't know what he asked him. It was like, "What do I do in this situation?" And Brodin's talking to him. And then they went to the right side of the bench, and they just panned down. And every single guy was on an iPad in a group of two or three looking at it. It looked like a college classroom during finals week. It was bizarre. They'd be like three guys, and they're looking at it, and then there's another cluster of people. So do you think they're getting really
like technical?
I don't know. Maybe. I've never seen a Wild bench where you had – I think there were about 15 players. It was almost like an NFL sideline, right? They're all looking at the little smart boards. And I wonder if they're starting to look for certain things, whether it's what they do or what another team does.
I don't think it's that. I think sometimes that occurs when you're playing with people that you don't ordinarily play with. But it's also the argument to the reason for coaches that like to keep lines together versus some coaches, they don't like what they see in the first period. They'll just switch it up. They switch it up. And guys are always playing with different people. They're trying to spark it that way. I think as far as coaches go, you're either one or the other. Like, there's no middle ground there. Either you like to change your lines up and create a spark, or you keep them together and let them work through things on their own. I think that's an illustration of guys being able to walk across or sit next to somebody and say, "Hey, in this spot, what are you going to do? Because this is what I like to do." And then now they know. Like, when I'm in this spot on my backhand right here, this is the play that I'm comfortable making. Or you go up to him and say, "Hey, bud, you were in this spot on your backhand, tough spot, yada, yada. Where do you want me? I can be here. You want me yelling?" And you just kind of communicate, and then you figure out, like, all right, Carolina, let's say, for example, pinches their D, and it puts the wings in a tough spot in certain places on the ice. Then they just come back to the bench, and you communicate. You draw that up. You say, "Hey, look, this is what just occurred. What do you guys want me to do? Where are you going to be?" And when that stuff starts to happen, I think it's good, and it's organic, and then you start to learn how to play with each other. You build that chemistry, and then that's what chemistry actually is. It's knowledge of what you're going to do as a player, what I'm going to do as a player, what I like to do, what you don't like to do. Everybody gets on the same page, and things start going well. But that's the case that's made for keeping lines together, because you learn all those little nuanced things that each player likes to do or not do.
Yeah, and I think you're right. You'd have to have a good room to have all of those people clearly having – technical discussions about what each other is doing. So they must be comfortable with each other. Even seeing Faber kind of yell down to Brodin, like, "Hey, what am I supposed to do here in this spot?" And you could see Jonas kind of explaining what he was, you know, kind of saying what he would do, I guess. But no, that's good. What do you make? I mean, these are all Western teams coming in, right? I guess we got the Caps,
yeah,
and
Capitals.
You know, we've got the Ducks and the Preds. Is that the three? So, obviously, that Predators game looms large. They all really do now, where we've put ourselves in this situation. So, God, wouldn't it be great to get somehow go on a run, three wins before the All-Star break? Everybody goes to Cabo.
Yes, absolutely. It'd be great. The Wild are in a spot now, though, where they just need to focus on each individual game. And it's terrific that Gus looked like Gus.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was maybe some concern in the Florida game you know, Gus.
He got thrown in there and gave up three.
Yeah, what's that going to do for confidence? But he came back and was great against Carolina. And who knows if Fleury's going to be out long-term or what that looks like. But now you went from riding Fleury to maybe riding Gus. But it's encouraging that Gus looked very Gus-like. And maybe it just took a couple of games for him post-injury to be able to see the puck, to feel it, to find his confidence and things like that. But they're one game at a time. So it's Washington, find a way, get 2 points. And then it's the Nashville game is a big one.
Yeah.
That's a big one. And they're gonna have to find a way to win that one. However things shake out on Tuesday or on Saturday, they're gonna have to win that Nashville game. So that one, boy, all hands on deck. That'll be fun to watch. But yeah, still 4 out of 6. No matter what, I think if you can get 4 of 6 points from here on out, you're feeling pretty good about it. And if you can go on a run where you win 4 in a row, then you get back to winning 4 out of 3, every 2 out of 3 games, something like that, then you're in a good spot. But for sure, there's no room to sag.
Did you have any notes on 97? I've always felt like he's strong as an ox, and I think part of the reason his slow starts happen is everybody comes into the season flying, and then I think there's some attrition, and I think he stays just as strong. Whether that's love of hockey or a winning mentality or just kind of Russian machine doesn't break. Have you noticed anything? He's clearly smiling and having more fun. Have you noticed specifically as an analyst, is he playing different? Why is he filling the net?
Well, I think he's playing with the puck a little bit more, and I think he's engaging in contact a little bit more. I think it was the Islander game, too. He had, like, a reverse hit. But
he can smoke people with reverse hits, by the way.
Yeah.
He did it to the guy that injured him, right? Right before that play in the Winnipeg game. He just killed somebody with a reverse hit.
And that's kind of what separates him from other high-end offensive players, is that I think he gets a lot of his room by initiating contact, being a little bit physical, and then creating his own space that way. And then he can also create space through skill, speed, skating, different things. But when you remove that physical element, I think he relies on just the skill stuff, and then he doesn't produce at the same clip. And I think that's probably part of the...
Feeling 100%, you're saying,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, feeling 100%, feeling physically able to win your battles, mentally in the back of your mind. You think, all right, I'm going to adjust my game a little bit. And
I like that. He does have some bullets in the meat. You know, he's a... For a superstar, that guy takes some blows.
And that's what's hard. That's a balancing act. Because you're like, it's almost like who would it be? It'd be, you know, is it Brett Favre or Ben Roethlisberger?
Stafford, you know, just takes punishment as a QB.
And you tell some of these guys, maybe even it was Russell Wilson. Remember he used to run the ball back in the day and he was good. And then they're like, you got to stop running it because you're getting hurt. Well, he stopped running the ball and being a dual threat, and he stopped being a good quarterback all of a sudden, right? It's like you have to do those things to be good. You start to change your game a little bit, and it's just not like your best. And that's not like a great analogy or comparison. But
he likes contact. I think you're right. I think he's
best with it.
Once
it just sucks that it has to be that way.
Yeah, and but I do think this is his time of year, man, when everybody else starts getting tired and looking for the ice bag, he goes pedal down. The side pad comes out of the breezers and he's ready to go. So I hope that makes a difference. We need him. I mean, there were a lot of games early in the year that if 97 was rolling, it would have made a difference. So it's nice to see him kind of helping us, not single-handedly win a few games, but he's certainly been a major player.
All right, well, let's wrap this up. No guest today. It's busy schedule. So appreciate you listening. We'll catch up on the Wild stuff. It's hockey day. A lot of people getting busy. What are you? You're going up Thursday?
Yeah, I'm doing some interviews for just looking at the Warroad Association, kind of the youth level, what they do right, and how they're building their numbers. And so I'm excited. I mean, I'm going to be on a 6-hour I'll probably be trying to eat some Casey's pizza. I like to eat some food over at the Casey's C store, the gas station. So, yeah, I'll be listening to country music, rolling up to War Road and see what it's about. Are you there Thursday night?
Friday.
Yeah, so we'll miss each other. But, yeah, I'm going to do that and get up there. I did have one. Can we finish with one hockey question?
Yeah, but hold on. Before that, keep that holstered because I saw some data on War Road that the town is this, I don't know, a couple thousand people, but they've produced like an insane amount of NHL players.
Per capita?
Yeah, well, for sure per capita, but just like in general. Like they've got Brock Nelson, TJ Oshie right now, and you could go down the list. There's a lot more guys. Like each of the last Olympic medals, they've had a player on the Olympic team.
Yep.
They've like 80 Division I scholarships. Like whatever they're doing up there, they produce a ton of quality hockey players.
Well, I'm going to hopefully start looking at that and figuring that out. I did hear him described by someone as the Edina of the North because of all the big companies up there. I'm sure that's going to really make me a lot of friends in War Road. But, it's all these, Marvin Windows and Anderson Windows. And so I don't know. I'm really intrigued what you're going to think of this rivalry, this War Road Roseau, as a Hill Mary, White Bear, Michigan, Ohio State. Like, what's that? What's that feel like when you do that broadcast? And what are the differences? Who are the Sochas? Who are the Greasers? I don't know. What do you think? Do you have any gut on why they're popping out so many studs in War Road?
No. Part of me is I can't wait to get up there to see if it isn't the outdoor ice. Like, do they just go outside and play? They just got a bunch of rink rats. And because they've got a bunch of rink rats, they just grow up playing hockey, learn to love it, and then go to work at it and turn out player after player after player. That's my hope, and that this is kind of like a pure outdoor rink rat type of experience for those kids, and they're just like, this is normal for me.
ODR.
Yeah, like 25 degrees, like skip the shoulder pads. We'll go in a T-shirt today. Give me Middleton's tarp-off T-shirt, and that's what we'll play in today. Like, they don't need all that stuff like that.
They come to center ice, just throw their sticks in a pile, and Bally's is like, no, you have to play for War Road. You can't. We're not just going to make teams. You might be right. How's your outdoor rink? Are you up and running, and are the kids using it, or are they too busy with regular hockey?
No, yeah. We first skate was last maybe like a week ago, really late, but we needed that last cold snap to get it, but the rink's in good shape. Ice is nice and smooth. Kids were out skating yesterday, had a few friends over. Hot chocolate after. That seems to be my wife's role. She loves throwing the hot
marshmallows.
Chocolate out there. Yeah, marshmallows.
Melted marshmallows, or she would like them to.
She doesn't cheat either. She goes milk.
Okay, real hot chocolate.
Yeah,
not packets.
She does the. I think she does the packet, but with milk, not water.
Okay. Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
Whipped cream.
Ooh.
And marshmallows.
Wow.
And then she does it in
mugs or styrofoam.
To-go mugs with, like, the plastic top.
Karts, you know where she should pick up that milk? There's no fresher milk in the state of hockey than Cub. I mean, Cub is all over sports in this town. They help us here on Wild on 7th. You'll see them on Homer Hankies for the Twins. They're even on PJ Flex headset. Fresh ingredients, that hometown feel. Next time Mama Karts is taking care of people on the rink with the perfect ice, have her swing over to Cub, get some milk, maybe a few more of those fancy cups. So this is like actually better than a beer stuck in a snowbank, potentially.
I think it's
even.
And she knows that this is the men's league version of a beer in the parking lot post game. This is the kids' beer. My kids play golf, and they go for the popcorn and the Sprite after their four holes.
Yeah, that's their bar.
She's like, I know you guys go out there and play hockey, and Ryan's puts up this rink, but we're going to have some darn good hot chocolate in here, and we're going to sit around. We're going to talk about it, too.
You know what's nice about that for her from a power standpoint is at any point she could just be like, hey, if you guys mow the lawn today, I'll make you the exact same hot chocolate from the rink stuff. And just take that power away.
Yeah.
And disassociate it from the rink.
Yesterday she was.
You got to be careful with that. You might have to start making something too, like make like a BLT or something.
Yesterday she was like, all right, did everybody get their hot chocolate? Here, take another one for the road. She's giving
up. Yeah, I bet.
Doubling them up. Parents like, no, we don't want any more hot chocolate.
I'd like to try one. That sounds great. I have one hockey question. So I know you're coaching now and you always are on TV and stuff, but like watching a game, stander or sitter? because I can't go to a hockey game and sit down and watch it ever, you know, with the exception of a Wild game. So I'm going to stand on the glass, switch ends so that I'm watching the scoring side of the team I want to see, maybe a cup up on the little railing of the net, have to be standing. Could be above. You know, a lot of rinks have like a section behind the stand or sitter. And is there any difference in that personality-wise at hockey games?
Boy, good question. I don't know what I am.
It's been too long probably since you were just like at a game watching it.
Maybe. And
can you picture yourself like sitting down in a group? Like
not in a
group.
Your
wife's there and you're sitting there and like maybe the kid that's not playing are there sitting in a seat? Can you imagine that? Because I cannot imagine ever doing that. But some guys I know are sitters.
Well, so when I think I would be a sitter. And when
no
I go
way.
To a rink, I look to see if there's a backrest in the seats.
Okay.
I need a backrest.
Okay. All right. So you're really looking at, okay. So
I can't sit on like a bench for 90 minutes.
Milk, not water. I got it.
Okay. And if there's not a backrest, my back starts to hurt. Then I'm uncomfortable to sit around because I have to like cross my leg to stretch my hip out one way, then the other way. And then it's just annoying. Then I've got a drippy boot going on somebody's back in front of me and then they're mad. But with a backrest, yeah, I'm all good. I'd sit down all day.
I could see you being a sitter because I think it's hard for you to be on the rail. People would be coming up to you and asking about the Wild power play. Like, it would be hard, I think, for you to just sort of blend in maybe. So sitting, you could get away from it, find a nice backrest. But I don't know, I think this is a fundamental question in hockey land is, do you stand or do you sit? It's a choice. And I think it's binary. I think you either are one or the other. It's fight or flight.
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll find
It'll
out.
It'll probably be 5 years before we'll know. I think the only way we'll know is if you went to a game, and it would have to be like a nephew or a niece. Like it's not, or you're watching your kid play, but you're not involved with coaching in any way. That's where you're going to find out.
Yeah.
That'll be, I don't know, probably
If I'm watching one of, like a non-kid, so like if I go to a high school game or something,
yeah,
I'll sit 100%. I'll always sit and just watch the game.
I don't know if that quite works. Okay, so you have a daughter that you're not coaching, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you go to her game, stand or sit?
Just depends on the rink. I think I have.
What do you think your percentage is?
50.
Man, you are an anomaly. I'm fascinated by this. So you're very specific to environment. You're like, hey, this has got a great backrest.
Yeah, I'm sitting there. If it will buck my back, then I got to stand up for an hour. I can do that.
Like you're serving. You're like, wow, I could get an aisle seat there close to the, okay, only 3 steps. Yep, I like that. I've never really thought about it that way. That's good. You're really studying.
It's where it's just my back. I can't sit down that long without a backrest.
Well, that's good. U10As are in good shape. Any changes in your ranking? Are you?
I don't know. Nah, they're good. They're good. We've got 3 district games left, and then the Muskogee, and then the district tournament. So we're winding down. The end is near.
Well, good luck to them. Good luck to the Wild this week. War Road, congrats on Hockey Day. Get your nipple T-shirt and come out and support the Wild and tarps off. And we got it all happening this week. Thanks for being with us. We're here.
Till it's here.